Welcome to the Shakeout Podcast. I'm your host, Kate Van Buskirk. Each week, Canadian running staff writer Maddie Kelly and I bring you the news, results, and drama from the exciting world of running. This is The Rundown. Maddie, it's been 2 weeks since our last rundown, and I feel like it's been even longer since I last talked to you or saw you. It is so nice to see your face on a Zoom call, and it is so exciting to know that I'm going to see your face IRL in like 4 days' time. How are you?
Yeah, I am so good and so excited to see you. And I got to see a bunch of Canadians last weekend, and it honestly felt like a special reunion, and it is going to feel like an even bigger reunion this weekend because, you know, the sand running meet in Irvine, California has kind of become our de facto national championships. I mean, not actually, but there's so many Canadians there, it might as well be.
Seriously, it's going to be great. I'm very excited. This is going to be, you and I are on very different trajectories right now. We have a whole bunch of results to cover today. Our Canadians have been racing incredibly well over the last couple of weeks. The racing season is in full swing at this point on the track. It is mid-May already somehow. We are 6 weeks away from naming our team, and there have been all kinds of exciting things going on. But I was starting to say we're on very different trajectories because, Maddie, how many races slash weeks in a row is this for you of running an 800?
Well, I ran two races in Victoria in March, and then I took a super sweet 3 week break from racing. Loved it. And then I've raced
two thumbs up,
and it will be four races in 4 weeks on Saturday. It's been a lot. And I am ready for a little break from racing because for the 800, it's not really the toll it takes on your body. Like, you could kind of run one every day if you wanted. It's just emotionally, my gosh, like, travel is weird and hard right now. You know, being away is weird and hard right now. Doing this on your own, weird and hard. And I'll just be happy for a little emotional come down for a couple weeks more than anything.
Good for you. So you're going to race on Saturday at the Sound Running Meet in Irvine. As we mentioned, you're doing another 800 there. Mm-hmm. I am going to be opening my season. Again, I'm in a very different place than you in terms of like number of races and emotional drainage and travel and things like that, because I've spent the last 4 weeks up here in Flagstaff putting in some great training with Andrea Sakafian. I'm glad we each have buddies. You know, I was thinking about that. You have Lucia and I have Andrea. And they're not only our training partners, but also are like kind of everything right now.
They are our buddies and not just our training partners. And Lucia, and I say that all the time, I wouldn't have run my first two flat 2 weeks ago. Like, Lucia is the one, she paced me to 5:50. Like, who else is going to do that for me and just completely sacrifice themselves? You know, no one who isn't your friend, that's for sure. So it's really,
right.
I mean, through this whole pandemic, I've had Lucia, and having a buddy is just enormous because it's really hard to do this by yourself.
And not only are we going to be racing, but our buddies are going to be racing.
Yeah.
Maybe we should give a little teaser for what's happening this weekend, and then we'll go back and we'll talk about what has happened over the last 2 weeks. So the Sound Running Meet is part of the American Track League. It is taking place, as we said, on Friday and Saturday. We have a couple of Canadians racing in the 10,000s, which are going to be on Friday evening, including, as I said, my roommate, training partner, buddy, Andrea Sakafian. Ben Flanagan is going to be racing in the men's 10,000. And then on Saturday, I am opening up my season with a 5,000 meter. Super excited for that. You are going to be doing another 800. Lucia and Gabriella are running the 15.
Actually, Gabriella DeBue Stafford is running an 800, ladies and gentlemen.
I thought that was true. Yes.
It will be the most even 800 you have ever seen in your whole gosh darn lives. It'll still be really fast, but Gabriella will really, I remember like racing 600s with her in university and sort of like getting to like the 500 mark and kind of thinking like, where's Gabriella? I mean, like, there's Gabriella. And then she could just, like, everyone else was slowing down and she's speeding up. It's just, it's how the distance runner has to run the 800, nice and even. But yeah, she will be running an 8, and that'll be super exciting because honestly, 159 probably would not surprise me at all. You need that kind of speed if you're running under 4 minutes for a 15.
Totally you do. Yes. In fact, we have some people doing different distances. I'm going to run through the Canadians really quickly that we can look out for this weekend at Sound. We have Noelle Montcalm in the women's 400 hurdles. In the 15, we mentioned Lucia Stafford, and then also Melissa Bishop-Nyagu, which is very exciting. Always fun to see her run a 15. In the women's 800, as we said, is Gabriella Debue Stafford, Lindsay Butterworth, and Maddie Kelly. We also have Sam Murphy in the 800. Maite Bouchard in the women's 800, Laurence Côté. We have Charles Philibert Thibodeau in the men's 1500, Mariah Kelly in the women's 15. And then again, myself, potentially Natalia Hawthorne. She's listed in both the 15 and the 5000, and Julianne Staley. We also on the women's 5000 list have Lanny Marchand. So we got a whole whack of Canadians this weekend. And we've kind of been teasing this, Maddie, but I think it'll be really fun because you and I will definitely be able to say hi to each other in person for the pod on Saturday and hopefully get a couple little clips from other Canadians right after their races, since it's the first time since Nationals 2019 that I am going to be able to do any kind of in-person interviewing. And the fun thing this time is I'm not just going to be a commentator. I'm actually going to be racing as well. So we will do our best to bring you some of those updates.
We will be running around Irvine, California on Saturday night asking people, what'd you think? What'd you think? What's going on? How do you feel? And
who are you wearing?
Oh my God, you look amazing. And I guarantee what everyone will say is, depending on how their race went, I feel good or bad. And then that'll be followed with, oh my God, I miss home. Oh my God, this is hard. Because that's
kind of- And also, oh my God, I get to race. This is so exciting. Hopefully we'll have a couple of people say that.
Well, it really is that too. It's like, I have never been a part of like an Olympic cycle before in this kind of way. And it is the emotional trip of your life. Cause like, the highs are so high and the lows are real low. And there's honestly very few time spent in between, which is where I really like to live my life. But anyway, it makes for good interviews because people are not short on emotion right now.
Absolutely not. Lots of great storylines to follow. Well, we should get into the results from the last 2 weeks. We did not bring you a rundown last week. Maddie has been traveling all over the western part of the U.S. for races. She and I have both been just really deep in our preparations for the upcoming events. So we've got 2 weeks of results to cover, but we are going to go through some of them pretty quickly. We're going to cover mainly Canadian results, starting with the track. And I guess the most important news, Maddie, is that over the last 2 weeks, we have had several Canadians run under their respective Olympic standards. And we're going to go back to Melissa Bishop running under 2 minutes in the 800 for the first time since 2018. Is that right?
That is correct. So Melissa ran a 159.04 in a paced race at Chula Vista, where she is currently stationed and training out of. Nikki Hiltz, the Pan Am gold medalist from the States, paced her to 600. She closed it out. She said it felt amazing, and she showed that it felt amazing because, oh my gosh, did she run a confident race on Sunday at the Golden Games, where she lowered her time even further to run a 158. She ran super strong. She got out way ahead of the pacer. She actually led the bulk of the race. She was only passed in about the last 30 meters. And it is safe to say that we have an Olympic medal contending Melissa Bishop on our hands. And as someone who is in her event, I find her very inspiring and exciting to watch.
It's so good to see Bish back on top of her game, because she was just hovering above that 2 minute mark, like right at it for so long. And now this is like, Bish is back. Like, track is back. Bish is back. 159 followed by a 158, both under that Olympic qualifying standard. And again, like you said, Maddie, running not only fast times, but racing incredibly well. And another person I want to talk about who is just racing out of his mind well is Justin Knight. It has been so exciting watching Justin take command of these races that he's been in. He has had the 5,000 meter Olympic standard for a while now, and he has been dropping down over the last couple of weeks to the 1500 to try to run under that Olympic standard. And I think he has sort of toyed publicly with the idea of, oh, am I going to run the 15? Am I going to run the 5? Am I going to double? Which, by the way, doubling is almost impossible because the heats for both the 15 and the 5,000 at the Olympics are on the same day. So very unlikely that he will do that. However, I think he just needed to prove to himself that he was capable of running under this 1500 meter Olympic standard of 335 flat. He ran really, really well 2 weeks ago, committing to the pace, going with Ollie Hoare of Australia and just missing out on that time. However, this past weekend at the USATF Golden Games, he came back and ran a 333 personal best in the 1500, not only well under that Olympic standard, but also second fastest time in Canadian history in that distance. So huge ups to Justin Knight. And then we had two other Canadians run under their Olympic qualifying standards over the weekend at the Mount Sac relays in California. Natalia Hawthorne and Julianne Staley both dipped under that 5,000 meter Olympic standard of 1510. Staley ran 15:02 for the win in a super gutsy race, and Natalia was not far behind her in 15:05. These are monstrous personal bests for these women, and they are also, again, the way that they ran was very commanding. They went out with a rabbit who took them out too slow. These women were on their own for the last 2K. They took turns taking the lead, pushing the pace, and they closed in crazy fast final kilometers and were rewarded for it. It was really, really great to see. So four Canadians over the last 2 weeks who have all run under their Olympic standards.
Well, Gabriella Dubuque Stafford technically did it as well. She's already done it, but she did it again, opening her season in 4 flat. She was second at the Golden Games, and she was closely followed by little sister Lucia, who finished in 4:05, a little tiny personal best and under a second off of her Olympic standard in the 1500.
Oh, so close. So close.
She'll get there.
And then at the Golden Games, we also had, again, a bunch of 800 meter women. We already talked about Melissa running that 1:58. And then Lindsay Butterworth ran 2 minutes flat, 0.5, followed right behind her was you, Maddie, with your second sub 2:01 performance in the last 2 weeks. So we actually haven't talked to you on the pod since you ran your personal best of 2 minutes 0.59 last week, followed closely by this 2 minutes 0.60, Maddie?
6.9, exactly a tenth of a second slower.
Right. All right. So we've got you here. Let's talk through it. Tell us about the last 2 weeks of racing, because these have been stellar performances.
Well, my last 2 weeks of racing include Lindsay. So it's to her credit as well. Lucia Stafford did me an enormous solid and agreed to take a week off of running 15s and pace me in the 800. As I had mentioned on this show, had a hard time getting into elite fields. And that was partly because my personal best was not reflective of what I am capable of running. And, you know, that's on me. You know, you're only a whatever runner when you actually have run that time. So Lou did me a solid and paced a perfect 500 last weekend in Corvallis, Oregon at a college meet. Lindsay was in that race as well, and we finished 1:02. I ran 2 flat 0.5, which was almost a full second personal best, and Lindsay was just behind me in 2 flat 0.9. And then this weekend, I ran 2 flat 0.6 in the most packed 800 meter of my entire life. There were 14 of us on the line. So for context, that's almost 2 full races in 1. And that's a lot of bodies when you're going that fast. It kind of felt like a messed up roller derby. But either way, I was super grateful for the opportunity and to tie my personal best, not in a perfectly paced race. In fact, in a race when there's a lot going on, makes me very proud. And, you know, it doesn't seem like another big step in the right direction, but I feel like it was. And also just like a great opportunity to race with that many people, because I haven't done like a real race like that, where, you know, you actually have to vie for position and get bumped around a little bit in about a year and a half. Like really this year, I've either front run or I've chased one person, and that has been either Melissa Bishop or Lucia Stafford. So to be in a race with a bunch of people I don't know who are not doing me a favor and taking me to 500 exactly in the time I requested was an important experience to have.
I think that's such a great point. I'm really glad that you bring that up, because I think that's something that is really important for people to understand, is that out of necessity, a lot of folks have been doing essentially glorified time trials this year. And that's great, because you need to get in some kind of competitive opportunity, whether it's contrived or not. But what you just described, Maddie, and we were talking about this off air just before we started recording, is that, you know, that's what championship experience is. It's getting bumped around. It's having things go crazy wrong right before the start and having to deal with the emotions of that. It's not having your support team there. It's your coach being in Canada, not having an agent, having one teammate that you know, having a few other people around that you recognize but aren't, you know, necessarily part of your like immediate team. I think that those things are really hard to manufacture, and they're invaluable learning experiences, and they're the things that are going to help prepare you for all of the newness of a championship race. So I think that as much as it sounds like, and you kind of alluded to this, it's emotionally draining to go through these experiences week after week, it's also really, really important. And I'm really glad that you were able to pull things together and have, you know, like you said, pretty much tie your personal best this last weekend, despite a lot of things going in a far from ideal direction. So that's great. Congrats.
Thank you. Well, and also like, it's not just running, right? Like this past, you know, year plus has been emotionally draining for a lot of people. So it's just a good reminder that like, just because you feel kind of wiped out doesn't mean you can't do impressive and hard things. And, you know, I'm going to be taking a necessary little break in the form of a quarantine. However, I'm not done yet. And so, you know, it's not over till it's over. And currently it's not over. So we forge on.
Love it. In our little Flagstaff household of me and Andrea, we have been just quoting that single quote to each other back and forth from Glennon Doyle's book, Untamed. I know she took it from someone else. I'm sorry, I can't remember who the original credit goes to, but the quote is very simple, and it is, we can do hard things. And when we show up to the track at altitude and we're setting off to do multiple 2K repeats at times faster than we've ever run, and it's 27 degrees and windy, we just look at each other and say, we can do hard things. And then, you know, you do them. Speaking of doing hard things, the last Canadian result we will go over is that Marco Arop 2 weeks ago ran what was at the time a world lead 800 meter of 144.76. Huge way to get the season kicked off. Marco did this at his alma mater of Mississippi. Looked really smooth. The guy's on fire. Going to be really fun to watch him this year leading into the Olympics. And then our third piece of sort of overall track news is not about a Canadian, but it absolutely is worth telling this story. McKenna Myler, which anytime I see someone with a last name like Myler or Quick or Swift, I just think it's so perfect. McKenna Myler is an American runner who ran a 15:45 5K and a 4:42 mile 6 months after giving birth to her daughter. So this woman went viral on TikTok back in October when she ran a 5:22 mile at 9 months pregnant. Shortly after, she gave birth to her daughter, and now 6 months after has come back and run these incredible times on the track. And she credits her success with being a mom, which is really cool. I mean, we're seeing so many more mothers coming back and training hard. I mean, the winner of the US Olympic trials in the marathon, Alafin Tuliamuk, is only, you know, a few months postpartum and is completely planning on running the Olympics this summer. She did a great podcast episode recently with the Bib Brave podcast, who we have done some work with in the past. So we'll link that in the show notes, talking about her experience coming back from pregnancy. McKenna Myler actually improved on both of her personal best times from pre-pregnancy in these races that she did recently. And it's just really, really great to see all of these women redefining what is possible coming back after having a baby.
Moving on to some trail news, Calgary's Barden Morris won the great virtual race across Tennessee, Laz Lake's 1000K event, and it's only 10 days into the event. So this started last year as the pandemic set in and became, as most Laz Lake's event do, kind of a viral trail running, ultra running sensation. And once again, even though in America, the country has largely opened up relative to us at home in Canada, we are still seeing a heavy participation in these virtual events. Honestly, if you have a hectic schedule and you know, traveling still feels iffy to you right now, it's a really, really great way to continue to stay engaged in the community and have something to set your sights on. He averaged 103 kilometers per day. And as of yesterday, there were three Canadians leading, including Morris in first place, followed by Matt Shepard, who is currently in second place with over 800 kilometers completed, and Chrissy Parsons, who is the lead female.
So Canadians are tearing it up. And I know that you didn't mean to do this, but I just got to go back and like say that statement again, because you kind of said it and then kept going. Morris averaged 103 kilometers per day to win this event. That is outrageous. Congratulations to Vardon Morris. And we will, I think by the time this episode is published, we'll probably know the results of our second and third place Canadians, Matt Shepard and Chrissy Parsons. But of course, you can always check back with runningmagazine.ca or our trail tab to find out lots more info and results from these trail races. Finally, onto the road. You know, I titled this road in the script, but I could have titled it bizarre slash other slash fun. Actually, Maddie, I'm going to let you take this one away, because just now off the recording, you said you were really glad that we included this piece of news.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have another Crocs world record. And I actually saw a great tweet over the weekend, and it said, "The fact that no one is talking about the Crocs world record is the problem with our sport." But it has since caught a lot of attention, and we are talking about it. Crocs world record, and not from there was one Crocs world record, but we have found a family of Croc runners. And if Crocs themselves has not picked up on this yet to sponsor them, I really hope they do, because this is a corporate matrimony that is ready to happen. So Benjamin Patchev ran a 14:47 5,000 meter in Portland on Saturday in Crocs. Now, you know, straps on, you know, this wasn't just Crocs as a clog. He did use the strap at the back, which is an important note, because as every Croc wearer knows, there's a big difference in, you know, the Croc mood you're in when you're, whether you're just slipping them on or you're using the strap. You know, the strap means business.
Okay, so like the Croc is like a convertible mullet of the shoe world.
100%, because, you know, like Croc,
it could be like party on the slip-on, but you mean business when you use the backstrap.
For example, at high school parties, a friend of mine was an avid Croc wearer. And if we were just sitting around drinking, no strap. But then as soon as someone was like, "Let's play kick the can," strap, you know? So it just, the mood shifts depending on where the strap is located on that shoe.
Maddie, can you quickly describe for us who didn't grow up in the middle of nowhere what kick the can is?
Ah, that's a reference that
this was not part of my high school party lexicon whatsoever.
We didn't all grow up like this. We didn't all party in bushes.
You know
with
what,
a
Maddie?
Fire.
There are a lot of things I've learned about you that are very different from my childhood. I shouldn't say childhood, but it involves drinking. But you know, my younger days, my youth. So tell me about kick the can.
I'm also not condoning underage drinking anyway, but kick the can. You have a Folgers can, you know, like the big, like 4 liter.
I do know Folgers.
Yeah. Coffee cans. So Folgers can, which is put in the middle of a, you know, sort of like field, beach, what have you, open area. And there are two teams and everyone is trying to kick the can to their side before the other person, but you can get caught by the other teams, right? So when you approach the can, you can get tagged and put in jail.
Okay. So I was going to say it's like soccer, but there's tag.
It's like capture the flag with a can, honestly.
Ah,
yeah.
Capture the can.
It's kind of like capture the can. But the difference is when you kick the can, it makes this noise that like alerts the other team, if they're in hiding, that the can has been kicked.
Oh, there's hiding. I was going to say, so this is not like your team lines up on either side of a line and you just go at it. Like, is this going on throughout the course of an evening, a soiree?
No, it usually only takes like an hour or so. But yeah, there's hiding, and then you emerge from hiding and someone will try and tag you while you're trying to get to the can. So I was actually quite good at this game because of the running I did. So it was a source of pride for me that I was a strong kick the can player, because running was lame in many contexts for me in high school, but it was not lame when you were good at kick the can.
Gotcha. Final question. Would Crocs with the back strap be an advantage or a disadvantage in kick the can? Because I am picturing the wide surface area of the front of a pair of Crocs. Would that be beneficial or not? It sounds like there were a lot of Croc wearers at your parties.
Yeah,
is that correct?
Lots. I mean, my younger sister, Erin, is still an avid Croc wearer. I also have a pair of Crocs that I keep in Pembroke for home use only. So I don't know, maybe, but like, I would never wear Crocs in Toronto.
Yeah, I don't think you'd want to.
Yeah, so I don't know. It might be a rural thing. Seriously, Crocs may be bigger the smaller your community is.
Let me just also say that that it doesn't surprise me that this race took place in Portland in Crocs. Somehow that checks out for me.
100%. Anyway, my tangent is over, but this Croc record is extraordinarily impressive to run under 15 minutes.
Yeah.
In a pair of slip-on footwear. And
plastic footwear, rubber footwear.
And in 2017, he ran a 111 half marathon in Crocs. And it gets better because his father also ran in Crocs, running a 117 half marathon. So that's what I mean when I say this is a family of Croc runners. But I'm not done yet. His sister runs a sub 20 minute 5K in Crocs. Yeah, this is a family of Croc lovers and a family of Croc runners, and I support both.
Not something I ever plan on doing, but mad props, because that does not sound easy. Also, like, would you just coat your foot in Vaseline? Like, I'm picturing the blisters that would form.
Oh, no.
But then, I think you'd
wear socks. I think Vaseline would be terrible because
you'd slide.
Yeah, the strap's not that secure. So if you've got, like, a lubricated foot, I think that could create some serious slippage.
So the answer is socks and Crocs.
I think it's got to be socks and Crocs, yeah.
If you are planning on doing something exciting like socks and Crocs for any distance, actually, I mean, I think it would be hard to run 100 in that. If you are planning on doing anything, taking on a new challenge like running in Crocs or running in any kind of unusual footwear or just taking on a new challenge during the pandemic, as always, you can tweet at us at Shakeout Podcast, mention us in your Instagram stories, also at Shakeout Podcast, and let us know, because we love hearing these stories. And as we mentioned, in the short term, Maddie and I will be coming at you with some live updates this weekend. Again, the conversations will be in person. The updates will not be live, but we will include them in next week's rundown. If you have any questions for Maddie or I or any of our Canadians racing this weekend, you know, it's been a while and we do have to apologize. We have not been active in our Facebook discussion group. Here is my pledge to you today, listeners. As of today, Tuesday, May 11th, at our time of recording, I am going to be reigniting the Facebook discussion group for the Shakeout Podcast, and I will be asking you, do you have any questions for any of the Canadians? We will list who they are competing this weekend at the Sound Running Meet. We will ask as many of those questions to as many of those people as possible in person. We will come back at you with the answers next week. In the meantime, for the rundown, I'm Kate.
And I'm Maddie.
And we'll chat with you soon.